Welcome to Attached, a platform for adding breadth and depth to everyday living. I'm Yaakov Danishevsky, and this is the Fresh Perspectives series, where I invite the rising stars of the mental health field to share their insights and observations. Welcome to a Fresh Perspectives episode, where I have the privilege of meeting with therapists and professionals who are a few years into the field or are just entering the field, and I think can teach us all and can share perspectives with us that are new and are coming with a new set of eyes as to what's going on in the world around us from a psychological perspective and specifically within our community. And in this episode, I have the opportunity to meet with Hannah Armstrong. Hannah is a licensed professional counselor. She works at the Couch Method in Chicago, working with all different ages and populations, and she integrates a variety of therapeutic modalities, primarily focusing on relational psychotherapy. So the question that I have for you, Hannah, thank you for making the time to do this with me.
My pleasure.
The question is, what, from your perspective, is something that you see as a relevant and important issue or challenge that is taking place within our community or within society at large from a psychological standpoint?
You know, I like that you said society at large, because the idea that I sort of settled on definitely has strong roots in the firm community, but I do think it is like a societal issue. You know, I was thinking about this question when you sent it to me, and, you know, what I kept coming back to is this idea of comparison. I see this really strongly. I see this in my own life, you know, among my circles. I see this, you know, with my clients that I work with. I would say across the board, but primarily with firm clients, this idea of comparison. And I think it has implications in many different areas. Even in the more spiritual or holy or firm realm, it has a lot of implications, right? Like, for example, how am I barely juggling my life when that woman has eight kids and it seems so seamless, right? Or my Shabbos table doesn't have that same feel as other Shabbos tables. I really see this in a very like materialistic area too, in from culture, which is like a very, you know, keeping up with the Joneses kind of mentality of, you know, are my kids wearing the latest season of clothes? What kind of stroller do you push? What kind of recipes are you using? And, you know, I think to an extent, that's not a terrible thing. But I do see that comparison and that self-criticism and criticism towards others plays a really large role in just culture, right? It has nothing to do with Torah or Judaism, truly, but just in the culture that I see.
Yeah, that feels very, very true. I can definitely speak to that from personal experience too, in so many ways. And I like that you're saying that it's something that kind of plays itself out in almost in a sense in all realms, like the examples you gave. It's not limited to, very often people speak about this in a way that's kind of limited to materialism. Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. It certainly rears its head, its ugly head, in the world of materialism, yeah. but also in the world of spirituality, like you said, and even of holy endeavors. Mm-hmm. It can really, you know, be an unholy dynamic within holy things. And the examples you gave, I think, are so true. I'm curious, what do you think are either some contributing factors to, you know, I think it's human nature, obviously, yeah, to be that way. But what are some contributing factors that make that more problematic or more heightened? Because like you said, right, it depends, I guess, to a certain degree, it depends on what degree or to what extent this is going on for a person as to whether or not it really creates problems for them. So what are some of the factors you see as when this kind of comparison will be even stronger for a person and create more issues or challenges for them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I, you know, I think there's a lot of answers. One thing in particular, which I know doesn't affect all from people, luckily, but definitely a large portion, is social media. And it sounds funny, but there's truly like a Jewish social media presence that is so strong and so influential. And I heard this really cool mashal, I guess, of a a man stands in front of a room and he says, "Okay, everyone, here's a piece of paper. I want you to fold it hamburger style." And while he tells them fold it hamburger style, he's folding it hot dog style. So he's telling them to fold it one way, but he's showing them visually a different way. So I think this happens a lot where we hear messages of, social media is fake, or this is not really what's important in life. This stuff doesn't really matter. It's just a facade. But we're seeing that, like, at the highest of levels, both from like influential social media people, but even like in the community, just people who are so put together and so, charismatic, and they have like all their things exactly right and exactly what a Jewish home should look like. We're getting the message that that's not what's most important, but I think it's just integrating into our heads in a very different way of like, that is what it means to be like a good, like have a good standing in the firm community.
I've always thought this was really interesting. There's this question of how much should leaders or public figures kind of wear their faults or their mistakes or their challenges on their sleeve, right? How explicit should, how open should they be in that way? And I think this even comes up in an interesting like halachic debate by Sfira Saomer. So like if you missed a day, so you don't count with a bracha. So it's like, should you, publicly, should the rabbi of a shul who's, let's say, missed a day, should that be, I'm trying to remember exactly how it plays out now, but there's this question that comes up. I'm forgetting the exact detail of it, but like in shul, like, should that be avoided essentially, that be known, let's say like the rabbi of the shul missed a day. And so now he can't count with a bracha. Like, should that be avoided and hidden in some way, in some like inconspicuous way that no one will know? Or it's like, maybe that should actually be like explicitly shown that like, yeah, we don't have it all together, and somehow that seems to be kind of a balance that needs to be figured out. I don't know. I'm curious. So would you think that more of that kind of openness around struggle from the top would be helpful in this regard?
I think it's a complicated issue because I agree, it's not one way or the other. I do think people like need to see that their leaders have, an ability to do things the right way and have someone to look up to. But I think Sfira Omer is like a perfect example of something that's so human to like forget. It's not so terrible. And I do think that would be like an example of a time where some vulnerability, some showing that, it's not just this like these perfect beings that we're looking towards. I think that that could be a powerful area for some vulnerability.
So I guess what I'm hearing you say is that some of the antidote, I guess, on a kind of communal level to this comparison challenge is more openness to the reality that we all struggle. We all miss, whether we make it through all of Sphira or not, we all miss a day of Sphira here and there, figuratively speaking, right?
I missed more than one day, but yes.
That's really so true, so important, and I can definitely relate to that in my life. I to me, the most resonating example you gave is actually the Shabbos table one, like being at someone's Shabbos table and thinking like, wow, this is awesome, like this is how like a family Shabbos should look, etc. And then like thinking of my own Shabbos table and feeling really really, say, unhappy or disappointed with that, and then needing to really bring myself back to an anchored place of remembering that first of all, you know, things on the surface are never exactly as they seem. But second of all, I don't have to undermine someone else's beauty to regain my anchoring, right? It could be that it actually is as great as it seems on the surface, but finding my anchoring within my own world.
Well, if I can say something on that, I think what you just
Please.
said is really important because, comparison really brings us to one of two places, which is either superiority or inferiority. Either it makes us feel miserable, that we're less than, that we can't do things in the same way other people can, that we don't present or we don't appear to look the same as other people. And that's a miserable state to be in. And I think we soothe ourselves by superiority, like, oh, okay, fine, but I probably, there's probably a lot under the surface. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Or just in general, using comparison as a tool to feel better about ourselves, or like, a little bit more than other people, which I think both of those, inferiority and superiority, are so like antithetical to what Torah values are.
Yeah, it's really, really well said. Because actually, I totally agree with you in that my first thing I just said is actually really not the right way to go about it, right? Because you're like what I said of like things aren't as they seem on the surface, for example, as like the way to deal with my own comparison really doesn't help. It's a band-aid because it's still using comparison. So I'm still playing the same game, and it's a problematic game to play. I'm just playing it from the opposite perspective, but I'm still just keeping myself in that same place, as opposed to kind of getting off of the comparison train entirely. I'm just riding in a different car by telling myself, well, there must be something here that, is not visible, right? Right. Okay, so kind of shifting over to the second part of our short conversation. So, curious to hear from you something that you see within the community or society at large that you see as a strength, something that we're doing well, and how we can try and highlight that and continue furthering or strengthening that.
I think in society at large, obviously this comes with other problematic things, but in general, there's so much less of a stigma about needing help, not being perfect. But I think that particularly in the firm community, like I think that's grown exponentially. I'm not that old, but even since I was a kid, I see it's so drastically different. And I think that the firm community has just an amazing ability to, like, we pour our resources back into the community. And in Chicago alone, there's so many organizations that like help people in all areas where, they can admit, like, I need help, I'm not perfect, whether it's financially, with their mental health, physical, all of that. And there are so many organizations that help people. And I think, like, as there still is some stigma and there still is, some discomfort, and I could go into that a little bit more, but I think that it's definitely, there's been such a move in the right direction, and combined with the fact that we really take care of our community in such an amazing way, I think it's really, really incredible, like, how much support there is.
I'm curious. I guess one way that maybe, because kind of the question has two parts of, what's something that we're doing well and how can we further that. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this, but personally, I think that there's two things you just named that we do really well, but there's a certain element of it in which they haven't kind of converged yet. So what I mean by that is, on the one hand, one piece of what I think you just described that I do think we do really well is that the stigma around getting help, specifically, let's say, with regards to mental health, is and relational challenges and addiction and all those kinds of things, trauma, etc. We are getting a lot better at making that a normalized thing. Of course, there's room for growth, but we're doing, I think, a much better job. And the second thing you named is that we're very good at pouring resources back into the community. People are very generous, both of financial resources and of time, energy, efforts, etc. And so there's a lot that's going on. And somehow I think those two things haven't converged fully yet. So one of the areas, for example, even just on a financial level, one of the areas that the community still does, it is getting better. There are certain organizations that are helping, and people are very generous individually too, if they're called or asked to try and help out. But we still are one of the areas that, as a community, we do not have, I don't think, enough of a stock or resource is for therapy. And so even those two things are strengths, they haven't really come together yet.
I totally agree with that. I was actually thinking about that point a lot. And it does come back to something I think that might even sort of be, connected to the first point. I see that a lot of from people in regards to therapy come in with, a real desire for like a solution-focused approach. Like, okay, I have this problem, very specific. this is how it's affecting my life. Give me some like quick and easy tools to get over it, or some like, you know, cognitive behavioral ways to kind of overcome my thought patterns. Like let's get to a solution. And I think that, you know, that's like a whole other conversation, and it's complex. But I do think that, you know, while the firm community has recognized the need for help, it's not always in the sphere of like deep relational work or trauma work, or, you know, just what it means to be able to have a relationship with a therapist or somebody outside of your like bias circle, who really cares about you and who's like really kind of digging into some deeper things. I don't think that that part of therapy has quite been like completely accepted. I think, like you said, with like addiction and more solution focused things, like, you know, a problem that needs a solution, that's where the communities may be a bit stronger. And, you know, I even see like there are community resources for that. Like, we'll help cover 5 sessions for you, and after that, you're on your own.
Right.
Because I think that that's a little bit more of the mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay. So that's a really good, I think, and helpful response and answer to the question of something that's a strength, but still needs furthering in that yeah. regard. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure and very insightful.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on here. It was nice talking to you. All right.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.